It's time for the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Lott.
Welcome back to The Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have Ian Zell Lungold. All right. Now, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Canada, the Canadian Rockies.
Mm-hmm. What you doing up there?
Well, we've been invited to go to the Yukon, and we're en route to Whitehorse, Canada.
All right. Is this a vacation, or are you on a mystery hunt?
A mystery hunt.
Well, I like that. Well, I'll tell you what, I was just perusing your website, mayanmagic.com, interesting site. You seem to know quite a bit about ancient Mayan calendars and such. Why don't you give us a brief about who you are, and then we'll get into some of the information you can share with the listeners tonight.
Okay, well, first of all, I am a sculptor and a jeweler. I'm not an archaeologist. I'm not a sociologist. I picked up on the Mayan calendar when I was looking for graphics to create a new line of jewelry. And the Mayan graphics were so stunning. They were beautiful. And I bought a book on the Maya to start to produce the Mayan symbols as jewelry, and then I got into reading the definitions of the symbols, and it was very, very plain that the Mayan civilization was very, very spiritual. And I was enthralled by that, and then I found out that they had a calendar. And it was different than the Gregorian calendar. It kept time completely differently.
Uh-huh.
It was fascinating. And it had an astrological aspect to it. And that was intriguing to me also. Being a jeweler, I started to make all of the symbols of the Mayan astrology. And there are 20 different astrological symbols. As I was making these ancient symbols with my own hands, something started to happen. I started to receive information or imaginations, a thought, connections to that ancient civilization. When you're sculpting something, you're sitting very, very still, making very small movements, sort of like a meditation. As I continued working with these symbols, I got more deeply involved with the whole society, with the whole culture, and more deeply involved with the calendar.
Now, that would be involved, not possessed, correct?
Not possessed, but
okay.
Involved.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'm planning to market these Mayan symbols to the public. I was thinking of marketing these. So I created the whole line, and then I found out that there was no simple way to convert the Gregorian calendar to the Mayan calendar. Well, that put the whole thing on hold for a while. on an airplane between Houston and Phoenix, inside of 5 to 10 seconds, I received a formula. Now, I did not figure out this formula. It was just presented to me, the formula of how to convert the Gregorian calendar to the Mayan calendar. And it took another 3.5-4 hours before I could get down on the ground and check to find out if this formula was accurate. It was. And all of a sudden, we had a means to convert the calendars within seconds on pieces of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, and no one else had done this, and I couldn't believe it myself, because if it was this simple, how come nobody did it before?
True.
Turns out it was just too simple. And nobody looked at the simple part. They were all involved in the complexities. So I produced a conversion chart, a set of tables that people could just simply use to convert one calendar to the next. And this was on, initially, my first contact with the Mayan calendar had to do with something called the Dream Spell calendar that was produced by Jose Arguelles. Many people who were involved in the Mayan calendar know about the calendar from Señor Arguelles. It wasn't until about 9 months later that I discovered that the Dream Spell calendar is not the Mayan calendar. This was brought to my attention by a Mayan shaman. And so what I did is I went to Guatemala, and I went to the heads of the Council of Indigenous Priests and Elders, and I met with Don Alejandro Cirilo Perez Osha.
Okay.
And he and I sat for a couple of afternoons with translators, and we discussed the situation and the problem, and I made a solemn vow to the Maya to help straighten out this confusion, excuse me, the confusion that had been perpetrated on the world by Jose Arguelles. And ever since, I've been just putting out the information that the Maya want presented about their calendar. Well, I had to go back and rework my formula. Fortunately, it still worked. In fact, it worked even better. And then a person by the name of Dr. Carl Johan Kahleman heard about that conversion chart. He's a biochemical engineer from Sweden. And he contacted me, and he sent me his draft of his book that was coming out. And I read that draft. I read the book. And it just completely blew my mind. Because what Dr. Kahleman had done is he had, of course, visited the Maya lands, and he had started studying the calendar in detail with clinical scientific techniques. Now, that's different than an archaeologist. An archaeologist studies ancient cultures, but a clinical scientist has to prove his theses. He doesn't just make up an idea and then foist it.
Yeah.
He has to actually prove it. And he went through 7 years of research to discover what particular things have happened in the universe during the different time cycles described by the Mayan calendar. And what he uncovered, what he disclosed in his researches, is a pattern. In fact, the pattern of the unfolding of consciousness in this universe over the last 16.4 billion years, from the Big Bang forward,
okay,
there has been a pattern. A repeating pattern. So not only do we have the scientific proof that this calendar is actually metering the flow, rate, and intention of creation itself, but we also have the proof of how this pattern runs, and since it's a repeating pattern, we also know fairly well what is going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Mayan prophecies were based on.
Were these prophecies written in the stone, or were they on tablets, or how did you find those?
They were painted on books called codices. Now, a codex is a folding book. They were printed or painted by hand by initiate priests in the Mayan civilization. They were printed on a bark of a tree called amate, that makes a very fine paper. And so all of the books that the Maya wrote, including the Popol Vuh, which is their prophetic text, were all done on this amate paper.
Mm-hmm. And that paper still exists?
Oh, yes.
And how? What is the date on this paper?
The date on the paper? Well, they're still making the paper today.
No, I'm saying, is it carbon-14 dated? Is there a date when it was created?
Oh, that was some 3,000 years ago.
3,000 years ago. We had a previous guest that basically said that all civilizations seem to have come into their full civilization status of a culture and writing about 3,000 years ago.
Well, as a matter of fact, we didn't start writing before 5,125 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in crune form, the Sumerians, and they were writing on clay tablets at the time.
Hmm. So you say you've cracked the code of the calendar.
Oh, yes.
And you obviously have gleaned some information. Do you have information that it says about a repeating pattern upcoming?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And would you like to start to delineate that a little?
Well, first of all, let's go through a little bit of the basics of the calendar and how it's built.
All right.
And then we can go in, we'll come right up to current day and go into the future.
There you go.
The basic structure of the Mayan calendar was discovered on a stone carved about 2,500 years ago in a city called Coba. Coba is near Cancun, Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's on the Maya Riviera. And Coba was the city that the Maya lived in the longest. There was actually two parts of the Mayan civilization. There was the pre-classic, or the classic period, and then the post-classic period. And the Maya lived continuously at this one city for that whole time. But when the archaeologists raised this stone, it was covered, completely covered, with glyphs, with Mayan picture writing. And no one understood it at the time, but it has been in the last, the last 10 years or so, the archaeologists have completely decoded the Mayan language. And so we can read this stone very plainly. And what the stone said is that all of creation is being developed or built in nine different stages or nine levels of consciousness. And each one of these levels has a particular length of time. The first level started 16.4 billion years ago with the Big Bang. Now, these kind of numbers just blew the mind of the archaeologists.
Well, how could they write that if they weren't there?
How could they write it?
Yeah, I mean, they told about it. They weren't there when it happened, right?
No, no one was here when the Big Bang occurred. There was nothing. And then all of a sudden, there was light and sound that erupted and created space as it went. And over a period of billions and billions of years, the light and sound coalesced into material, and that material gravitated onto itself and became stars, and then became solar systems and planets. And then far after that, there came life on this planet. As a matter of fact, that first level, and in all of the levels, each one of the levels, is divided equally into 13 parts. There are seven periods of what's called light, or day, and there are six periods of night in each one of these levels. Now this, we've heard this before, 7 days to creation. Mm-hmm. In Genesis. As a matter of fact, the Mesopotamians and the Sumerians also were writing in crune form that creation, each level of creation, has 7 days and six nights. So the Maya were not the only people to have this information. They were just the most recent ancient civilization. that left the freshest tracks, and that's why Coleman and I have been able to pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, each one of these levels is divided into these 13 sections, and each one of those sections has a particular intention. And each time these levels run, these intentions follow one after another in order. And you can definitely see the pattern. Now, I have a website you mentioned earlier, Mayan Magics. That's MayanMagix.com. And there people can find the detail of what we're talking about this evening. I give presentations all over the world, and I have the benefit, when I'm doing it in person, I have the benefit of graphics and pictures, mm-hmm. which help tremendously to understand this. But people can go to the website, and they can get a good glance at it. These 13 intentions, like I said, they repeat over and over again. During that first cycle, each one of these days or nights lasted 1.26 billion years long each. 1.26 billion years. Then, 840 million years ago, we started another cycle.
Are these year quotes you're saying, are those quotes that you've deciphered from the calendar?
Excuse me?
The quotes, the year quotes, the billion years, and that, are you saying that was from the calendar, or are you making an estimation?
No, that's from the calendar.
Okay.
Actually,
okay.
You see, they were writing in their own time sense.
Yeah.
The reason it's an exact number of, was it called tunes by the Maya. A tune is 360 days. 360 revolutions of our planet equals a tune. And it's this 16.4 billion years works out to 13 Habolk tunes on the Mayan calendar, a very even number. But when you convert it to how we're keeping track of time, it becomes a fraction. So all of the dates that were carved in the Mayan civilization were carved in relation to tunes and not 365-day years. The Maya, their calendar was not paying attention at all to the seasons or to our revolution around the sun in our solar system. This calendar is a much, much bigger deal than this speck of mud going around this minuscule star out here at the edge of our galaxy. It's a much bigger deal. And they knew it. Now, where they got that information, they have a legend. The legend is that a fellow by the name of Itzam Na came down to the Mayan people and presented the information of writing, mathematics, and the calendar. So they evidently, according to their own legends, had a visitation. We don't know who that person is or where he came from.
Did they ever see a picture of him or representation in any of the paintings?
Oh, certainly, yes. And he is a human form, and he's usually sitting cross-legged, and he is imparting information. He's known as the first teacher, mm-hmm. Itzam Na. So where this information came from, we're not exactly sure. What the information says, we know absolutely for sure, because we have the last 350 years of scientific discovery to prove it. In every walk of science, in paleontology, in astrophysics, in biology, in all of it. And like I said, it's all there at the website. So this first cycle I was talking about, 16.4 billion years long. It goes through days and nights. First day, first night. Second day, second night. Third day, third night, and so on, up until the seventh day. The seventh day being 1.26 billion years. We are still living in that 1.26 billion years. something very interesting happened 1.26 billion years ago, and all you life scientists out there probably are very familiar with this, and that is the first cellular life showed up 1.26 billion years ago on this planet. Now, the next cycle started 840 million years ago. That's 20 times shorter than the 16.4 billion years. And it, too, went through all these 13 stages. What happened during that time is that individual cells started clumping together for survival and forming more and more complex organisms. And we have the whole of paleontology and biology to prove when these various stages of life occurred. And they follow very, very exactly those 13 stages, all the way up to 63.4 million years ago, which is when the first mammals, the first live births, occurred on this planet. That was during the seventh day of that cycle. The very next cycle started 41 million years ago. Now, monkeys showed up 40 million years ago. And we went through, again, all 13 stages of development, up to where we had monkeys living as families. Then the very next cycle was 2 million years long. Now, this 2 million years, that's when the first Homo habilis walked the earth. Now, people were living definitely in caves. They didn't have fire yet, but they were walking on hind legs and had no tail. These creatures developed stage by stage by stage through these 13 sections, and in the seventh day of that cycle, we had Homo erectus show up. The very next stage after that was 102,000 years ago. Now remember, all these time cycles are written in stone some 2,500 years ago.
Okay.
102,000 years ago was the beginning of the consciousness of culture. And people started gathering together and coming up with reasons for things. Reasons for stars, reasons for rain, reasons for fire. This all developed through shaman to early cosmologists or theosophists and eventually into religions. And we all know the rest of that story. And toward the very, very end of that period, that is 8,000 years ago, humanity had developed the technology of agriculture, crops. The very next stage started 5,125 years ago or so, and this is called the national cycle.
Right.
And what happened in 3115 BC is King Menes of Egypt, he married the upper and lower Nile cultures into the first nation. And ever since, the whole idea of nations with laws and borders and armies and treaties has been developing more and more and more. Then, more recently, there was a cycle that started in 1755. And those people who are familiar with their European history will know that 1755 was the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And ever since that time, humanity has been developing methods of producing power, power to manipulate the raw materials,
sure.
Power to manipulate the environment, power with, and power to manipulate one another. And that has been developing and developing over the last 250 some odd years.
Yeah.
Just recently, most recently, we started a new cycle. That was January 5th, 1999. This cycle is called the Galactic consciousness cycle. This is what we're living in right now. This cycle lasts for a grand total of 12.8 years. I'll go more into detail about these cycles in just a minute, but I'm going to complete the top cycle here.
Okay, fine.
The ninth cycle starts February 10th, 2011, and it runs for a grand total of 260 days, and it ends very near 2012. Now, I want to make very plain and very clear that in each one of these levels of consciousness, the same amount of change or evolution occurs. But each time these cycles run, the change accelerates by 20 times.
The quickening.
The quickening.
All right.
Exactly right. And it still continues. I mean, it is a constant acceleration. What we're looking at here is the difference between the beginning of one cycle and how fast things are changing and the beginning of the next cycle, how fast things are changing, is 20 times faster. Then change accelerates continuously through the whole cycle to the beginning of the next cycle. So when Christ was alive, things were changing once every 400 years, or 397 to be more exact. Every 397 years, people changed their mind or their opinions or their point of view of their existence. In fact, if you look into archaeology, you'll find out that most of the datings of pottery and weavings are all segmented into 400 years. Every 400 years, the patterns change. This whole calendar, the whole Mayan calendar, is not so concerned with time, but with consciousness. It's not so really pinned on event.
Is that a worldwide consciousness or an area type of geographical?
It is a universal-wide consciousness, not this planet.
Right.
Please, everybody out there, think bigger than this planet. Think bigger than this solar system. Think much bigger than this galaxy. That's what the Mayan calendar is about. It is the evolution of consciousness within this universe, within all of 3D.
Okay.
And we can prove that with astrophysics, because all that happened in the universe is following the same pattern. When you get closer to our current time, of course, with history and now with current developments and headlines, it gets much more personal and localized.
We should have had you on last week. We had an astrophysicist on last week.
Wonderful.
You had a good talk with him.
We should. I have talked with astrophysicists.
All right.
But I would love to have talked to him.
Okay.
So what we have going on here is an absolute schedule of the shifting of consciousness. Now, I'm going to just step out and say that there is more or less a cascade of event here. That is, that consciousness comes first, and then it becomes light, and then it becomes thought, and then it becomes physical, and then you have an event. And that's the way things go. So this calendar is measuring the consciousness that then becomes light, then thought, then action.
Okay?
Okay?
I'm with you.
So what we have here, like I said, is a repeating pattern that is constantly accelerating. If any of you out there have thought that time was speeding up, or maybe you just thought that you were getting older or something, well, time is not speeding up. Creation itself is speeding up. There are more and more events in less and less time. This is going to continue to accelerate to completely ridiculous levels. Completely ludicrous. according to your mind. This is kind of a problem, really, because your mind has a speed limit. Your mind can only think 24 thoughts in 1 second. How can you prove that? With a strobe light. Your mind is a tool. It's a tool to see the similarities and differences between things and then make decisions concerning your future survival. And it can only see the similarities and differences at up to 24 changes per second. You can watch an old-time movie, for instance. Old-time movies were played at 18 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind can see the gaps between them. That's why it looks jerky.
Yeah.
But once you get a strobe light or a movie playing at 24 frames per second, your mind can no longer see the gaps between the frames or between the flashes. A strobe light at 24 flashes per second looks like a very, very steady light. There. That is your mind's speed limit. Now, this telephone call that I'm on right now is connected to computers that are making 4 billion decisions per second. Your mind is doing 24. Okay. Consciousness, in general, is going a lot faster than your mind could possibly hope to keep up with. Now, on the other hand, your consciousness is timeless. There is no time in your consciousness or to your intuition. It's instant knowing. Your mind has to stop and think about things, but you can know instantly. Does anybody out there recognize that? Maybe an experience. Like, for instance, this might be kind of unfortunate, but has anybody been in a car accident or in a skiing accident when things were moving very, very fast, but to your consciousness, it looked like slow motion?
I heard that.
This is a demonstration that your consciousness is not on the same time frequency as your mind. You probably also noticed that during that event, you were not afraid. You did not have an emotion. You just were in action. You knew exactly what to do to make it through that situation. That was your intuition. That was not your mind. Now, just after the accident, when you realized that you were still alive, that's when the mind took over and you started having all these fears and emotions. So there's two different things that we're talking about here. Now, the mind, being a survival mechanism, it has built into it some safety overrides. The first safety override is when the mind knows that it cannot really do its job. It can't really see the similarities and differences well enough to make good decisions about your future. When it's got too many uncertainties, what it does is it produces something we call stress. Stress is a signal sent to your body to stand up and walk away.
We have about 12 minutes.
Just leave. There's too many uncertainties here. We don't know what to do. Let's go.
All right.
Now, most of us have become very accustomed to stress. In fact, stress is now a character evaluation on you. How much stress can you handle? That will pretty well determine how high you rise in the corporation. So stress, it causes about 80% of all diseases, and that's from the AMA.
Sure.
But stress has become very much a part of our civilization. In fact, it's epidemic all across the planet. And why is that increasing so much? Well, because creation itself is putting more and more data, information, situations into your life than has ever existed before. It also is putting in more possibilities, more different kinds of solutions. And many people are realizing this in their own lives. I mean, your situation is changing all of the time. So it's more and more possible to actually produce what you intend, because there's more possibilities out there, which is the good news.
Okay.
The bad news is the stress part. And then you know what happens if you don't handle stress, or if the situation gets more dire. What happens is the mind has a second level of preservation, and that is fight or flight syndrome. Here, the mind shuts down. It does not produce any logic whatsoever. What it does is it sends adrenaline into your body to where you can run away or fight your way out of whatever situation you're in. Now, this is manifesting itself as road rage and desk rage and Columbine High School and terrorism, 9/11, Iraq War. All of that is fight or flight. But not everybody can fight their way out of a situation or run away. I mean, you can't fight your way out of something at work, or you get fired or put in jail. You can't just run away, or the banks will chase you down.
True.
So there is another level that the mind goes to in order to preserve itself, and that is unconsciousness. It's sort of like when you're attacked by a bear, you're supposed to lay there and play dead.
It doesn't always work, because you're supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Maybe he'll only just eat your arm or something,
yeah,
you know?
Right. It
is the last-ditch effort of the mind to preserve itself. And this unconsciousness is the mother of all addictions. All addictions, no matter what they are, it could be drugs or alcohol, it could be sex, it could be shopping, it could be gambling, it could be sitcoms. All addictions are only your personal choice of how to stay unconscious. That's all they are. It's also the father of all suicides, which is a pretty permanent denial of the situation. So the mind, being as it is being taxed, overtaxed by the rate of event, is necessarily failing. It is going south. And that's what's happening to you, and that's what's happening to your relationship, and that's what's happening at work, and that's what's happening on the television, and that's what's happening. And it's going to continue to get faster and faster and faster. So what the message is here is that evolution is demanding that people move away from such a reliance on their logic processes and open up to their intuition of what to do. I know a lot of you out there are already having intuitions, that is, thoughts which are not exactly rational or explainable. But you have an impulse to do something, sort of like migrating animals, all of a sudden just kind of, oh, we ought to be walking south, or we ought to be flying north. There are unspoken but clearly known directions. How do you know the difference between something which is an intuition and something which is just a floating thought in your mind? Is that an intuition is always calm and knowing, no matter what the circumstance. Remember that accident situation we were talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was no fear during those moments. It was only afterward. So if there is any fear or doubt that is associated with that thought or that concept, you can bet it's coming from your mind. On the other hand, if it's a clear, this is just the fact we ought to do this, that is your intuition.
We have about 5 minutes.
Okay. So what we've got here coming up in this repeating pattern is that we are now in the third night of this galactic consciousness cycle. In every one of the preceding third nights, what has occurred is that systems that were seen or had become conscious that they were unworkable, those systems are thrown away. They are not forwarding the evolution of consciousness, and they are done away with. We are approaching on June 6th, we are approaching this tomorrow, is the midnight of this third night. And what is happening to governments and to banking systems and to industry and to everything, all the systems that we rely on for our livelihood, all of them are set to fail. That is, no delivery to the food stores. That is, no electricity. That is, no computers or internet. That is, no banking. The banks are just about to go bust. Now, you understand that this means that civilization, as we have come used to it, is over. That's true.
That would happen, yes.
That is true. I want to send everybody to the webpage to get as much detail about this as possible so that this is not just some radical, crazy idea, because this has got to do with your very life.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow. Actually, it's already started. Look at what's happening in the paper. Every industry in America is known now to be absolutely corrupt. The government is known to be absolutely corrupt. The systems are broken. They have failed. Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae are overextended 50 to 1 on your home mortgage. They are just about to go bust, which means that the whole banking system and everything that has to do with the American fiat dollar, that is that phony piece of paper in your pocket that you have assigned value to, will become worth exactly what it is, nothing. This is all due to happen right now with a 16 billion year history to back it up.
Now, that's not why you happen to be in Canada, is it?
So you yes, it is.
Yeah, I got you.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
I'm following my own intuition.
Okay.
And I'm getting far out of the way.
Okay.
Anybody and everybody who is in a city should have at least 10 gallons of gas in their car, camping equipment, and about 2 weeks of food, because it's going to take you that long to get yourself reoriented and meet up with other people who have the same point of, well, the same instincts or the same survival interests. The people in the cities are not going to have a good time, not at all.
Now, you're saying this is based on your deciphering of the calendar and the consummation of current events, the speeding
yes.
up of time.
Yes.
And you've calculated it to happen anytime.
It can happen anytime. It is happening already right now in front of your face. You have to have the courage to look at the rot that is laying there in all of our systems and the impossibility that any economy can be based on debt forever. Our economy is only based on debt, and it's all over. Go, you know, go on the Internet,
wow.
guys. Go on the Internet and check it out. I mean, the information is out there everywhere from our own soothsayers, not to mention all the Native Americans and their traditions and the Vedic calendar and the shift of the yugas. It's all coming down right now. We just got a much more exact timing of it with the Mayan calendar.
We have about 1 minute.
I beseech people not to believe what I'm saying, but to, for their own benefit, go and research this. To determine for themselves whether this is true or not. Either it is or it isn't. If it's true and you're sitting in the middle of a city, you're going to be very uncomfortable. That's about all. I mean, it's...
That was quite an amazing last statement, I must say, Ian. And, of course, you sound like you're in safety. I'll tell you what, if we're all here in maybe a month or so, maybe we can have you back on the show and we can talk about these things. Evidently, you have a lot more to say. Now, what's the name of your website again, and do you have any books or materials?
Yeah. The website is mayanmagix.com. That's MAYANMAJIX.com. And there are materials there. There are books you can buy at the bookstore. I would the Mayan calendar by Dr. Carl Jahan Kahneman is number one on the list. There's plenty of free information that you can go and download and read in the articles section. Go to articles, and then there's different categories of articles, the deeper truths and the truth files and the Mayan calendar files are probably going to be most of interest.
Thank you very much for being on the Edge radio broadcast, Ian.
You're welcome.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye.